So let's continue in Meleches Borer over here. So we are going in a logical order over here, right? That is the plan. And the logical order that we're going in over here is the following. We started just by saying we need to be magdir what the Melecha is. Does it require both Ochel and Psolas? So that was shir number one. Do you need both Ochel and Psolas? Can there be such a thing as subjective Psolas, or is it always something that's objective, right? Then we said, okay, now that I know whether you need Ochel and Psolas, or how to define Ochel and Psolas, we now have to define what's called a mixture. Because if there's things are not mixed together, then it's not a problem of Borer at all. So we have to define a mixture. So the first logical step is when you look at something to figure out, is this even a Borer Shaila? And that's what we've done to this point, and we're going to continue focusing on that today. And when we say, what is it even a mixture, what we mean is, is it even two different minim, or is it one min? And if it is two different minim, are they connected to each other in a way that would be defined as being mixed together? Or are they already separated out from each other? They're already separate from each other, and therefore it's not going to be a Borer Shaila. Then we're going to have to discuss, once you have something that is a Borer Shaila, you then have to discuss, okay, how do I do Borer? And that's where the three conditions come in, Ochel Mitoch Psolos, and Miyad, and Biyad, and that Pesachim we're going to discuss next week, the Ochel Mitoch Psolos, Miyad, Biyad. But that's the logical order that we're going in over here for, just to, you know, so we're on the same page over here. So what do you do when you need to sort something, but you can't fulfill whatever requirements there are of Ochel Mitoch Psolos, Miyad, Biyad, which we're not even discussing yet. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchus Paskins, he's quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchus Perikimel Osvav. Shamati Megon Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba Tzatzal. Sheheir Mishabbos Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph. That he quotes from a Rashi. Demashu Shemutru Adam Lefazer B'Lishtoach Minim Shonim probably is. Says, if you find yourself in a situation that you're not able to sort a mixture in a permissible way, you could just destroy the mixture by spreading it all over the place. Take all the pile of stuff that you have and just throw it across the room, and now you don't have a pile anymore. You have a fork over there, and a knife over there, and a spoon over there, but it's not a pile anymore. You've gotten rid of the mixture. Where does Rav Shlomo Zalman get it from? So as we noted, Shabbos Tafayin Dalid. The Gemara says that when Rav Bibi presented fruits to his guests, he poured out the entire basket of fruits all over the table. So people are sitting at this long table. Rav Bibi comes in with a basket of fruits and he just dumps the whole basket, and like, you know, apples are flying down. So it's like a chassidish shatish. And things are flying. All the fruits are spread out now all over the table. And the Gemara wasn't sure why he did that. Is it because he wanted to avoid Borer, or is it because he was presenting lots of fruits and he wanted to show just how many fruits he was presenting? But the implication of the Gemara is, whatever his intention was, it does work to solve the Borer problem. Right? By doing that, it does actually work, and that would solve the Borer problem. So Rashi over there says that v'lo ratza liver or ochel mitocha olin v'lo seslefnei kolechem ve'echad, he didn't want to have to pick out fruit by fruit what each one wanted. That he just spread them out, and then everyone could take what they want, whatever they want, and it's not a problem because now they're already spread out. They're no longer piled together. They're no longer in a single unit together. That's what Rashi says. So clearly, you see from the Gemara that spreading out works to remove the tarovas. And once you don't have a tarovas, so then you don't have a Borer Shaila. Remember, the first step of the sugya is: do I even have a Borer Shaila? So when you do have a Borer Shaila, you can take a step backwards and make it not a Borer Shaila anymore by taking away the Shem Tarovas. You don't have to go through the Ochel Mitoch Psolos, Miyad, Biyad. You can just take away the Shem Tarovas. Spread the whole thing all over the place. So Rav Meisher writes in the Tshuva, Aruch Chaim Chel Dal, Seminayim Dal, the Borer Osir Aleph, just like Rav Shlomo Zalman. And when asked by Rabbi Eider, Ha'im Mutter Levarer Kapot Mezakot Al Yidei Sheizrukam Kodem Al HaShulchan V'Yipardu, can you take all your forks and spoons and knives and just throw them across the table? And then they'll be independent of each other. Rav Moshe writes, three-word tshuva, He Eitza Tova. Shite. It's a good idea, right? Nice idea. So if you want to set the table well before the meal, and you know, a long time before the meal, and your utensils are all mixed up, So all you gotta do is spread them out across the table, and then you abolish the mixture, and then you don't have to worry about it. Rishon Zalman initially thought that, yeah, you could do that, but you need to have two separate people to in on this. One person needs to spread it out, and then someone else needs to pick them up. Because he thought that initially, that by doing it all at one time, by having one person do both of those stages, that's just like a slower borer. Meaning by sorting it out, meaning every time you do borer, you're undoing the mixture. I pick up the fork to put it away. Now this fork is no longer mixed with everything else, and now I put it down. Right? You're always undoing a mixture when you do borer. So he thought that this might be just an elongated borer, but then he changed his mind. In that goes with Tziyunim and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasan in the second round, he changed his mind and he said that he thinks it's mutter even al yedei one person in the whatever tikkunim and miluim of the Shmir Shabbos. Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Ayil Meshulash as being machmir, that it doesn't help to spread on the table. And what does Rav Yashiv do with the Gemara? The Gemara says, beferish, that it does help. So he says, no, the Gemara was being served to eat right away. So it wasn't derech breira, it was derech achiva. But if you're not doing that to eat it right away, then it would still be called derech breira, Rav Yashiv. But Pashtus is, like Rav Shomazan Rav Moshe, this works. So there's nothing wrong with accomplishing what you want to accomplish if you don't do it through the malacha. Mm-hmm. So you're able to avoid the malacha. So therefore, forks, knives, spoons are mixed up, and you want to put them back in there. You know, so there are several contexts that you may want to.
How come would you be allowed to tell a kata to do that for you?
And probably. Yeah. Right. In the end of the day, he changed his mind anyway, so it's easy. But yeah, okay. I'm not sure, but probably. Now, when you're sorting forks, knives, and spoons from each other, there are different contexts that you may want to do that. Right? You may be doing it because you're trying to set the table to eat right away. You may be doing it because you're trying to set the table for tomorrow. You may be doing it because you're trying to put away the dishes. Right? You've already cleaned the dishes, you want to put them away. You may be doing it because you're trying to put the dishes in the dishwasher. Right? Sometimes you put the dishes in the dishwasher, you just pile them all in together. But now they have like these, where each fork fits into its own slot. So you want to line up all the forks and then all the spoons, right? If you're like me, you know, like everything has to be masudar, right? It drives you nuts. Why is that over there? You know, like you want to. So everything needs to be in the right spot. So at the end of the day, when you open up that drawer in the dishwasher, you'll see the forks, the knives, the spoons. Everything is where they belong. So how do you do that? Is that mutter to do? So there are a number of heterim that apply in different situations. Some apply in some situations, not others, that relate to sorting through cutlery. So first you have Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, the heter that we just mentioned. You can just undo the whole borer situation, just make it not a borer situation. Alternatively, Shmir Shabbos and Paragimel Os Pehei Pasen Zim Rav Shlomo Zalman, that you're allowed to randomly pick up a utensil in order to, let's say, dry the utensil, and then put it where you want it. Because you're not picking it up to do borer, you're not even picking up a particular utensil. You're picking up, you have all these dishes that are washed now, and you want to dry them and put them away. So I'm picking it up to dry it. I'm allowed to pick up a utensil to dry it. I'm not trying for this utensil. I'm not, aiming for any particular. Whatever's there, whatever comes up in my head, whatever's all biyodo. And then I put it away in the place where it belongs. And as long as you could break it down in that way, where I'm picking it up for some other purpose, and then I'm putting it away afterwards, you're allowed to even put it away in the slot that it belongs. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman does not say that you can do that. Let's say they're all dried already, and all that's left to do is put them away. Then you could just, as long as I don't care which one I'm picking up right now, I pick it up, oh, it's a fork, I'll put it with the forks. Oh, it's a knife, I'll put it with the knife. He does not say that. He says, no, if there's something else you're going to do with it, you're going to wash it, you're going to dry it, you're going to do something with it, so I'm picking it up to wash it or to dry it, not to be borer it, not for the purpose of sorting it all out. Rav Moshe seems to pass in this way as well, in Aruch Chaim Chalik Dalet Minayin Dalet Borer Os Yudbeis. Rav Yashiv is machmir about that also, because he thinks it also looks too much like borer. But that's heter number two. Heter number three, the Abia Omer, Rav Vadya Paskins, and Chilkei Orchaim Sim Lamnalev, based on the Prima Gadin, that if everything is ochel, meaning you want to use all the utensils equally, then there's no psolus, and therefore there's no borei. Meaning that even though shnei minei ochlin, but like Tosis' version of shnei minei ochlin, that shnei minei ochlin is when you want one more than the other, and therefore that which you don't want becomes the psolus. It becomes the psolus. But if I'm setting a table, let's say, so I have this pile of cutlery, and I have to set the table. I know there's, you know, there are forks, knives, and spoons in here. So what do I want? Do I want the forks? Do I want the knives? I want them all. I'm going to use them all equally because I'm just setting the table. I'm putting them where they belong. So therefore, there is no psolus, says Rav Vadia, and therefore he thinks that's not a borer situation b'chlal. Most Muslims don't accept that svara of Rav Vadia. Yeah.
Rav
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he's passing against
the Rambam.
I don't know. You have to look, see if he fetches it into the Rambam, or he says it, or he holds that way in the Rambam, but certainly against the way we understood the Rambam.
It's going to be very strange for Rabbi
to go against the Rambam. Yeah. Certainly against the way we understood the Rambam, right? My understanding is that there are other ways to understand the Rambam. Is Matthew here? My understanding is that there are other ways to understand the Rambam, but certainly against the way that we explain the Rambam.
According to Rosh Hashanah's element, even if you look there, even if you're deliberately selecting something to pick up and drawing, because that's Mia, Piyadok, Pitokselmas, because you want to dry this one now, and then once it's already out of the mix.
Yeah, it's just why would anyone deliberately pick up a particular one to.
Maybe not in that situation, but meaning it doesn't have to be that your das is not for any particular one, even if your das is for a particular one.
I hear. That you dafka want to dry this one. Right,
yeah, I want to do all the forks first, so whatever. Or I need more forks, and I need to wash them now because I'm out of forks.
But it has to be that you're doing something to them, otherwise it's not miyad. Otherwise you're just putting them away, and that's not called miyad. Yeah, I hear. Maybe. The Orcha Shabbos passes. If you have items in a refrigerator that are side by side on the shelf in the refrigerator, that's also not considered a mixture. But if they're mixed together and if they're piled on top of each other, then it might be a mixture. You know, like a messy vegetable drawer is considered a mixture. So even within your refrigerator, you might have a borer situation. And this brings us to books. Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo, Shin Yates Os David, says that books on a bookshelf aren't considered a mixture, even if the set is out of order. Like you have a shas that's that's not, that also drives me crazy when I see that. Fix it. But you have a shas that's out of order, let's say, on the bookshelf. So since each book is standing by itself and is easily recognizable from the outside, so it's not considered a mixture. Or like clothing hanging in a closet is not a mixture. But a messy pile of books on a table is considered a mixture, and therefore removing one is only mutter if you meet all the three requirements of, miyad and biyad. So removing a chumash from a bookshelf on Friday night in order to be handy when you wake up in the morning, even though you're not using the chumash right now, that's fine. You don't need to use a miyad because it's not a borer situation in the first place. But if you have a chumash on a messy table with lots of other svarim piled all over the place, if you're not going to use it right away, then it is taka going to be a problem. So you can either disperse the books all over the table, or you can take the book you want from the mixture and immediately learn a little bit from it. And that way you'd solve the borer problem. And Shvis HaShabbos, he says that if the things are organized and easily accessed without moving part of it, then it isn't considered a mixture. So books on a bookshelf where the bindings are visible are not a borer problem. Again, that same svara, that it's like, that's not a tarovis at all, meaning it's so nicker that it's not a tarovis. Meaning, this really touches on what we were discussing yesterday. What we mentioned yesterday was that the Trumas Adeshin says that really misvara, whenever you can recognize the different items, that shouldn't be called the tarovis, because I can recognize the different items. But Achal Bikain, it's in the Sedarais, it's a Chiv Skila, so we need to be Machmir. And the Ramah quotes that Trumas Adeshin, that we need to be Machmir, even when things are nicker. So what are all these svaras with? But books on the bookshelf are nicker, so it's not a problem. We just said we paskin, Rama paskins, that even when things are nicker, it is a problem. So I think there's tzvei dinim in nicker, meaning there's that which is nicker that it looks like a mixture, but I can see where everything is in the mixture, right? You have a pile of forks and spoons, but I can see where the forks are, where the spoons are. But they're all mixed together. You have a salad. I see where the tomatoes are and where the cucumbers are and where the lettuce is. So I could see them. They're nicker in that sense. But they're clearly mixed together. All the ingredients are mixed together. That's the Trumas Adeshin. That's what the Trumas Adeshin is saying. You know what? That's a mixture. And because it's a mixture, even though it's nicker, if we're dealing with Mr. Skeeter, we've got to be machmir. But if something, if someone would look at something, you eyeball something and say, that's not a mixture. You see svarim lined up beautifully on a shelf, one right next to the other. That's not a mixture. So if you, when you look at it, it's so nicker that it doesn't even look like it's mixed with anything, then that's not even a borrowed situation to begin with, even according to the Trumas Deshen. Right? That's the way the post can pull back a little bit on that Trumas Deshen. That's why books on a bookshelf are okay. Rav Vadya and Yavia Omer, Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Yalkut Yosef and Shin Yates, Paskin, that books are never considered mixed together, even when they're on a, when they're piled to high on, you know, in a messy pile, because you can identify them. Now, why does Rav Vadya Paskin that way? Because it's the Ramah that was machmir like Shumas Hadeshin, right? It was the Ramah that said that that when, even when things are nicker, it's a problem. So Rav Vadya is going to say, no, as long as you can identify them, it's not going to be a problem. So for Svardim, you could be a little more maker. No, I don't think so. No, because if you need a chelik gimel mishum brura and you pull out a chelik base, not at all what you want. Right? It's a completely wrong thing. I think jelly beans are. I mean, when something is small, it's not as identifiable. Even though you can see the colors, but it's not like you just go and get it. Meaning, like something that you can't just, you know. I think that's part of the nicker of it is that. Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan has this chiluk that if it's only two, then it can't be called a mixture. I mean, something that's easily, that doesn't require a maisa breira, doesn't require any, you know, any active book.
Does the piling books up have anything to do with, I think, with the Be'er HaKhul we said, like, where like the bottom line, like
one thing on top of the
other. All you're doing is taking out the top.
Yeah,
so the thing below is exactly what you want it to be. You're just trying to remove things to get to it. So by the pile of books, you should do it.
Right, you have such a svar if they're piled one on top of each other. But if it's a whole mess, then you probably don't have that stuff.
I mean, isn't that also, I mean, because we said it by, like, the matzos, where it's not necessarily going to be, like, a clean mess of, you know, very neatly stacked broken pieces and then the full one. You're going to be dealing with a case where it's, like, a jumble of...
If it is a jumble, then it's not so pasha that we could, that we would rely on.
The matzo case would be where it's just, like, broken, 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 broken.
It would have to be one on top of the other.
It's just for getting to the one that you
right, I mean, it's an access point.
Let's
it's
say
the
you
only
wanted to use one of the books, not for right now, you just wanted to take it. So now we're discussing about a mixture. You would do that, we're not talking about pulling off. We're not talking about sealing.
Well, right, meaning this is before that point. This is before that point. Is it even a mixture to begin with? Is it even a mixture to begin with? Now, we discussed yesterday if you have a fly in the soup, right? So we had this whole machlokas, how to understand the taz, you have to take a little bit of soup out. But how far does that go? Like, you have pickles in a pickle jar. Why aren't the pickles the fly and the pickle juice, the soup? Right? Every time you take out a pickle, you should have to take out some of the pickle juice together with the pickle. So do you say such a thing? So again, you have to look at the size of something and say, no one would look at that and say, oh, there are pickles mixed with the pickle juice. The pickles are very clearly identifiable in the pickle juice. They're not mixed with the pickle juice. Each one is clearly recognizable. So you can pour out the water, which is the psolus from the jar, even with the use of the kli. Or you could take out the pickle and use it for much later. Right? You don't have to follow the normal rules of Borer. This is what I want to get to today. The main thing I wanted to get to is water filtration, both in terms of Britas, which... people still use Brita filters, yeah. So both in terms of Britas and in terms of New York City water and the filtering that we have in New York City water.
Or just another thing in the pickles, in the pickle jar, it's not just pickles, like there's like a...
Yeah, so if it's, let's say it's those bread and butter pickles, you know, like the, so that might be a real problem, that might be a problem with water. So Elamite is usually not a problem anyway, because you're going to, you'll take it miyad biyad in ochel mitel psalos. Normally you're taking out the, you're not pouring out the juice. If you're pouring out the juice, then yeah, yeah, that's a problem. Because that's the psalos.
Don't have to do with mixture of shomaz almond, pizza, like unmixing the mixture. We were saying, like, oh, you spread it all over the table. It's just not to just put them into, like, you could line them up so that they're not touching. You might just have to, like, spread them out.
What together is probably if they're not touching and you can clearly.
You just line them up. You don't like chuck them.
Right, right. You don't need to make a whole show of it, although it's more fun, but yeah. Now, when it comes to the Brita filters, so we mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch Paskens of filtering water or wine from sediment is mutter, because most people who drink we drink it without filtering, right? We discussed that yesterday, how like the sediment in the wine is like part of the wine. It's not considered to be, it's min echad with the wine. So it's not considered to be a mixture at all, because people wouldn't mind drinking wine with a little bit of sediment in it. However, the Bir Halacha quotes Supreme Gadim that an istinis who would never drink it in that way is not allowed to filter it. So based on that, if you are makbid that you would only drink filtered or bottled water, then the chari, you're not allowed to use the Brita. Meaning, sometimes people use the Brita because it's, you know, spitzy, it's nice, whatever, it's a good thing. But I would drink without the Brita also. It's just, you know, it's even better with the Brita. But I would drink it without it also. So if that's the case, you're allowed to use the Brita filter because it's the same thing. Whatever it's getting rid of is just part of the water. However, if I would not drink it without it, then to me, that's psolos. So in the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv that drinking filtered water is mutter even for an istinus. Why would it be mutter even for an istinus? So first of all, he says there's no iser borer when the sorting isn't noticeable itself. And there's no difference in the appearance of the water before and after it enters the Brita. It looks like water before, it looks like water after. It doesn't look any clearer or any different afterwards. Unless you're in a place, in a municipality, where the water is like cloudy or something, and then once it goes through the Brita, it's clear. But if it looks clear to begin with, and it looks clear afterwards, then it's not Borer in the first place. And second of all, Prima Gavim is referring to an istinus who would never drink unfiltered water. But today, everyone would take a cup of cold water from the sink if they were extremely thirsty. There's no one that really would never drink. Even if they wouldn't, they would surely use the unfiltered water when cooking. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yashar says he couldn't imagine that there's someone who's such an istinus that would never ever drink the unfiltered water. They never have to, so they don't. But there's no such thing, he thinks, nowadays of such an
istinus. Isn't that a hard read of Mishtasi Bahafi or whatever the Lashon is, that you drink it, not cook it? Like, is that an extension?
Well, the second half of the sentence
right.
is. But the first half of the sentence, yeah. Now, an important exception to that rule of the Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos of Rabbi Yashiv might be in the case of New York City water supply. Right, as you well know, in 2003, I think it was, or 2004, there was a company that was selling, checked lettuce, right? So they were doing a demonstration in the yeshiva to train mashgichim from the yeshiva how to check the lettuce and how to wash the lettuce and make sure there are no bugs on the lettuce. And then you could, you know, charge 10 times the price for pre-checked lettuce, right? So they noticed that after they did the whole process that there were still bugs on the lettuce. So they called the company that sold them the lettuce and they said, you know, you have an infestation problem. And they said, no, we don't. We have the cleanest lettuce around. They said, no, you have an infestation problem. And they showed them the bugs. And the company got back to them, those bugs come from water. They don't come from lettuce. Those bugs, you know, are spawned in water, not in lettuce. And they realized, so they took water, not having just washed lettuce, and they took a notice that there were these bugs all over the water in New York City, that there are these little, what are they called, copepods or something like that? So there were these little bugs in the water in New York City. So that was like a tumult thing, you wouldn't believe. Oh my gosh, all the water in New York City is treif, right? What are you going to do? So everyone was installing these filters. So there were different kulas, you know, that some people had, others didn't buy the kula, you know, weren't into the kula. Me, Shaina Matsui. I asked Rabbi Josh Flug at the time, Rabbi Josh Flug from Boca Raton. You guys know Rabbi Flug? It's a good guy to know. So he was always interested in, like, you know, experimenting, you know, like seeing what the metzias is. So he was living in Kew Gardens Hills at the time, and he took just like an undershirt, like a white undershirt, put it over his garden hose, turned on the garden hose, and turned it off, and then he took, you know, and the water all went through the shirt, and then he looked at the shirt, and there were bugs all over the shirt. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess there are bugs, you know, like, they were visible to the, so I asked him, I knew he had looked into it at the time, I asked him yesterday, you know, if he's up to date on what's going on. He said, as of 2004, New York City had promised that by 2014, they were going to filter all the water. So then he texted me an hour or two later. So far, they filtered 10% of the reservoirs. 90% is still unfiltered. So they're moving a little slow, as governments tend to do. So they discovered these bugs. So a lot of people started filtering their water. There's a big dispute whether drinking these bugs is us in the first place. A lot of pesukim said to install the filter. So those who install such filters don't drink unfiltered water, and they wouldn't allow to drink a cup of filtered water from the sink on Shabbos, because the two reasons to be makel don't apply. When you look closely at the water, the bugs are visible, so you don't have Rabbi Yashar Sar that it looks like water before, it looks like water afterwards. No, you see the bugs. They don't look like bugs when they're in the water, but you see that they exist. And if you know that they're bugs, you know. And then afterwards, you can see that they look like bugs. When you filter them out of the water, you can see that they look like bugs. And second of all, those who are machmir are considered anistinous. Because it's not like Rabbi Yashar says, oh, come on, if you were really thirsty. No, you wouldn't. You would never drink the unfiltered water. It's anistinoraisa in your mind. So, however, obviously they could use the water to wash their hands, because they don't mind the small bugs on their hands. And that's the sheet of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchsa and Rav Belsky. Rav Shechter disagreed. Rav Belsky, by the way, wrote a tshuva on it. Rav Belsky, as a Karnav Bracha, has one volume of tshuvas called Shulchan Halevi. So he wrote a tshuva on this topic explaining why he holds it as mutter. Rav Shechter disagreed. Rav Shechter allowed using the filter for New York tap water on Shabbos based on four svaras. Number one, he said, the bugs might be kosher. The bugs might be kosher. Why might the bugs be kosher? Because the halacha in Yeridaya and Simin Pei Daled is that any time a bug is spawned in a kli, that the bug comes into existence in a kli, that's not going to be a problem. That doesn't have a din of it. So it could be that these bugs are all spawned in the reservoir, which is in a kli, whatever. So it could be that they're kosher. Second of all, the amount of bugs in the water varies at different times of the day, and it may not require checking. Meaning it could be that it's a miyachein ha-matzui. There's a big discussion of Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig how to define miyachein ha-matzui, right? Rav Shechter is fond of quoting the Mishkanos Yaakov that anything that's over a 10% incident is a miyut ha-matzui. Anything under 10% incident of a problem is a miyachein ha-matzui. That's why sometimes, you'll buy a suit and you haven't had a chance to get a shotness checked. This one's good. You haven't had a chance to get a shot in this check, so are you allowed to wear it at all? So if it's a brand like Hugo Boss or something, where all they do is stuff shot in this in their suits, so then it's a miyud ha-matzui. It's a real problem. It's probably a rove even, but it's at least a miyud ha-matzui. Then you're absolutely not allowed to wear it without checking it. But if it's a brand that you go to, it used to be the Sy Sim, the Sims store was where everyone would go. That was the yeshivish place to shop for suits. So you'd get a suit for $84 or something. So that shotness itself cost more than $84. There was no shotness in those suits. So it was a miyachein ha-matzui. So then you wouldn't have to check the suits for shotness. It used to be like if you were one of those guys that wanted to know where all the Rosh Yeshiva are and hang out, so you go to the Sims Bash. That's where they are. So from across the Jewish spectrum. So that's the second svara, that maybe it's a miyachein ha-matzui and therefore you don't have to worry about it. Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shach disagree 10%. They both agree 10%, Mishkanos Yaakov, but 10% of what? 10% of what? Meaning, let's say you buy a bag of lettuce. You ever go to Costco, buy those Andy Boy things of lettuce where there are three? So 10% of those gigantic bags have a bug in them? That means one bug in every 10 bags is 10%? Or 10% of the leaves of lettuce? Well, that's a very different thing. 10% of the portions. So how you measure it is very different. So I forget who said it, but I think it was Rav Shechter said that you look at serving size during a meal, like if recommended serving of a drink of water is two cups, so then 10% of servings of the water, whereas others said I forget what the shittos were, but it could be that it's a miyachein ha-matzui. Third, Rav Shechter said the bugs aren't necessarily psoles because non-Jews eat it, and it's only halacha that prevents us from eating it. What does that sound like? What's he basing himself on? That those bugs aren't psoles? That's the chayadim, right? We say that halachic, the milchasinuk, right? Is halachic psoles considered psoles? Right? That we discussed that yesterday. Right? If something is not really psoles, it's just halacha tells me it's a fruit, it's just like the other fruit. It's an apple, just like that's an apple, except it's arla. So I'm not allowed to eat it. So is that called psoles? So apparently the chayadim in Nishmas Adam, Tez Zayin Hay, says that it's not called psoles. When it's only halachic psoles, so maybe you could rely on that. And then Rav Shachter pointed out that the filter is built in and it automatically filters all the water, even that which is for non-drinking purposes, and maybe that's a svara to be makil. So Rabbi Belsky wasn't convinced by any of it. Rabbi Belsky, however, thought that the New York City tap water is kosher. He held that the bugs aren't really bugs and it's fine. But if you're going to be concerned, then he thought then you're going to have a borer problem also. Rabbi Bleich wrote a long article about this in Contemporary Halachic Problems, I think volume 7 maybe, and he writes that it's usually the easy way to solve a bug falling into a beverage, like we learned yesterday. What's the easy way to solve a bug falling into a beverage? You remove some of the beverage with the bug. But the whole way the filtration works is that you put the filter on the sink and all the water gets through, and the only thing that's left behind is the bug. So you're not taking some of the water out with the bug. So you don't have the easiest way to solve the problem. So Rabbi Bleich quotes that in the journal Or Yisrael, in Tishrei Tavshin Samechei, which was, 2005? Right? So in Tishrei Tavshin Samechei, there was a Torah journal that came out with two major tshuvas, one by someone by the name of Chaim Oberlander, and the other one by someone named Rabbi something Rosner, not our Rabbi Rosner, but Rabbi something Rosner, I think Hasidic Shiit. So Rabbi Oberlander in the Or Yisrael journal says that this borer would only be a borer midrabanan, and he says there are no bugs in the first gush, meaning that the mitzius is when you turn on the faucet, that first gush of water that comes out doesn't have any bugs. The bugs are when it continues to, because I guess somehow in the pipes it settles back, the bugs settle back down. So it's only going to be in the second gush that bugs are going to come out. And therefore it's grumma, because it doesn't come in the first gush, because it's a time delay, so it's grumma. And grumma, the rabbanon is mutter. So he has three steps. First of all, it's only borer midrabanan, he says. Second of all, it's grumma, because it's a time delay. And third, grumma and rabbanon is mutter, and that's your heter. Rabbi Bleich points out, I'll read you his lashon. Rabbi Oberlander's discussion is predicated upon a fundamentally flawed presumption. It is quite clear that it is extremely unlikely that copepods will be present in the first gush of water following attachment of a filter. However, if any such creatures are present in the water, they will certainly be trapped by the filter when they do appear and will remain in close proximity to the filter at the time of every future use of the filter. Accordingly, if, for example, a filter is installed in an infested building early in the week, opening the faucet some days later on Shabbos will result in an immediate act of borer. What's he saying? And what's going to happen? You'll turn on the water, and you're right, the first time it's only a grumma, and it's a grumma and a drabanan and a mutter. But at some point, a bug is going to get stuck in the filter. Now, that bug is going to stay in the filter. It will be stuck in the filter next time you turn on the water also. And the very next time you turn on the water, that first gush may not have bugs in it, but there's already a bug in the filter. So you're doing borer there. The next time you turn on the faucet, you're doing borer, because the bug is being left behind, and the water is going right through the filter. So that's why it's going to be a borer problem. So that's where Rabbi Bleich rejects Rabbi Oberlander's kula. One could argue, based on something we'll see soon, that Rabbi Oberlander has a very strong defense. Based on what we'll get to pour over coffee, there may be something to,
Why is it borer derabanan?
I'm not sure. No, why is it only borer derabanan?
Is the istanis thing only a derabanan?
I don't know. I'm not sure why you use it's only borer derabanan.
And also, wouldn't you cook with it still? Because it doesn't boiling.
I think that's also a machlokas. Which may be a machlokas and mitzias about what happens when you cook with it.
In Shaka's case, was that for using a filter that you pour into, or only for one that's hooked up automatically to the tap?
So it depends which of his coolers, right? If you hold that the bugs aren't waste, then it doesn't matter, right? If the hold the bugs are kosher, then it doesn't matter. If you're relying on the fact that the amount varies, also it also doesn't matter. But if you're saying like the last thing, that since it's built in, it automatically happens, and you aren't really doing a mice more, that's probably why it's rabbanan. Since it's like a built-in thing, and it's not something that you're doing an act of borer, you're just starting an act of turning on the faucet. So then, if you're actually doing a direct act of borer, that wouldn't help. Yeah, there's apparently a number you need, like 0.5 or something.
The better thicker filters don't filter out the bugs. There's a better faucet filter.
Okay, So there you have it. So, yeah, okay. Another tshuva in this Aryeh Yisrael journal written by Rabbi Razin, not my chavrusa, he makes the opposite argument. The Chazon Ish in Moed Lamed Vav Aleph holds that a time delay is not a grama when that's the normal way to do the malacha. Meaning you can't say every time there's a time delay that's called a grama. When that's how you do it, then that's not called a grama. That's the meaning, and he brings a raya from the malacha of Tzeda, when you trap an animal. So what does a hunter do to trap something? He sets up a trap, and then when the animal comes by, the animal gets caught in the trap. So that's only a grama? That's not the malacha? No, of course that's the malacha, because that's the normal way to do it. So the normal way to filter tap water is by putting a filter over the tap. So regardless of the time delay, it's not going to be a grama. There is precedent in Poskim discussing straining water on Shabbos from bugs. The Kaf HaChaim in Shin Yotes, Os Kuf Chaf, discusses the water supply in Yerushalayim, apparently in his times, that apparently had permissible bugs. Meaning they were spawned in a kli, so they were permissible bugs, but people were disgusted by the thought of drinking them, so they wanted to filter them, meaning the opposite of our case. Our case is that these are potentially usser bugs, but no one minds drinking them, you're just taking care of it because of the isser. Right? The case over there was nothing wrong with these bugs, they were permissible bugs, but no one wanted to drink them. So the Kaf HaChaim holds that if halacha requires straining the water, then it would be usser, but if the halacha doesn't require it, then the straining would be mutter. The only issue is whether straining is halachically required when you're disgusted by it, meaning is that going to be bal tashaktu, and therefore halacha requires that you strain it to avoid not because of achilas, not because of the other kind of bal tashaktu of eating bugs, because it's not included in that issue, but is it the bal tashaktu of doing something that you're disgusted by? Curiously, the Kaf HaChaim in Os Reish Chav Gimel in Shin Yotes quotes Poskim who said that straining is halachically required, that straining that's halachically required can be done with Shnaim Shasu'ua and with the Shinui, even though I had said earlier that you just can't do it. So again, Rav Shachter quoted the Chai Adam, which was based on Milchus Chinuch that we said yesterday, similar to Milchus Chinuch we said yesterday, that since the entire need for Borer is halachic and it's not based on a personal desire, so there's no psalus and therefore there's no Isra of Borer. However, the Maram Shik in Or HaChaim some Kufla Medalid disagrees with that Chai Adam, and even if we're not certain about this Heter, you'd at least have a Sfek Sveka, meaning there's a suffix, are the bugs there at any given time or not? And even if the bugs are there, maybe you hold like the Chayei Adam, that it's not called psolas b'chlal. So maybe that would be enough, to have a svek sveka lahakel. There's so much more to say about this, but I just don't want to overdo it here. So lemaisa at the end of the day, it seems that if you're filtering the bugs for halachic reasons, it was a machlokas between the poskim and the OU. Right? Belsky thought that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Rav Shachter thought you are allowed to do it on Shabbos because of the tzadim, including the tzad that we learned about yesterday, that there is no psoles to begin with. I think the OU policy in those cases was always to be a little bit more cautious. If you Google it, you'll find an OU statement where they instruct their mashkichim about what to do. But I do want to move on to something. If you read Rabbi Bleich, if you're interested in that topic in general, Rabbi Bleich, Kedarko Bekodesh, deals with it in a very thorough manner. I don't know if you guys appreciate like what Rabbi Bleich is. He's also like one of these hidden gems in our yeshiva. I just got a new copy of the Art School put out Drashos Haran, right? So you ever learned Drashos Haran? Anybody here ever learned Drashos Haran? So there's a reason why you never learned Drashos Haran. It's impossible. It's impossible to understand the Drashos Haran. So Art School is a publisher. They don't put out anything. They just have the published book. But this fellow Rabbi Kielsen in Far Rockaway works very hard, and he made the Drashos Haran understandable with introductions and with did a really fantastic job. So he said the only problem he had was that he couldn't find anybody to like edit. Anybody to like, meaning they could edit his English, but anyone to like content editor to make sure he's understanding it correctly, to make ha'aros if he's getting it, because no one else learns Drashos Haran and no one else is capable of editing. So the only person on planet Earth that he was able to find that could edit is Rabbi Bleich from YU. So Rabbi Bleich is the editor of the art scroll Drashos Haran. So anyway, so he's unique personality. You know, he teaches in the law school, the medical school. the yeshiva, everything.
I have the chuvas from Elio.
What?
I have the chuvas from Elio.
On the water?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. Shkaya. Okay, but let's move on to the next topic. Removing a peel. The Rama in Shin Chaf Aleph Yitzhak Paskin is that you're allowed to take an inedible peel right before the meal. You're allowed to take it off of the fruit. So Bir Alach explains, that's psolus mitochal chel. How are you allowed to do that? So Bir Alach says, because it's the only way to access the fruit. And if it's the only way to access the fruit, then that's called derech achila, and that's going to be mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, what do you mean it's the only way to access the fruit? A banana. Is the only way to access the banana by peeling off the peel? I will argue that is not you're just not being creative enough if you think that's the only way to access the banana. Well, what can you do? Cut the banana in half, and squeeze it out, right? Or scoop it out, right? It's not the conventional way to eat a banana, but who says you have to be conventional? But, right? The first time you try to peel the banana from the bottom, it's also not conventional, but once you try it, you're never going to stop because that's the proper way to peel a banana. Right? So it doesn't have to be the conventional way to it's true, by the way. Life hack. When you peel it from the top, it smushes into the banana. On the bottom, you just... Perfect. Watch a monkey peel a banana. They peel from the bottom because they know better than anybody how to peel a banana. So it's not the conventional way to eat a banana, but it's a way to eat a banana. So Shlomo Zalman explains, technically there's a way to get to the fruit without removing the peel, but you're still allowed to peel it because that's the normal way of eating it. Peeling an egg, an orange, a banana, an onion, all mutter are based on this bir alacha. So that's what we assume. The Aruch HaShulchan holds that anyway it's mutter to peel because the peels aren't mixed with the fruit. It's not a taroves. They're attached to the fruit. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes there's a difference between being davuk and being ma'ura, which is the opposite of what we said yesterday. Right? We thought yesterday that when something, where do we quote, where do we say that from? That being davuk or being attached to it is like a sign that there's a borer issue. It was based on that Ramah with the garlic peel, that because it's davuk. I think that's what we said, that being davuk is like being ma'urah. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, when something is davuk, it's not ma'urah. Meaning that the peel is around the fruit. It's not mixed in with the fruit, and therefore it's not a borer situation. Big nafkamina between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bir Alacha. If you say like the Bir Alacha, you hold that this is a borer situation. It's just, this is an exception where you're allowed to do psolos mitochochem, but it's still got to be miyad and biyad. Whereas if you assume like the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not a borer situation. It's not borer. There's no tarovis. If there's no borer, it doesn't have to be miyad or biyad. So that would be a huge nafkamina between them.
Yeah. What about an apple? Is an apple?
So let's get to an apple. So the Egle Tal in Borer Osvav paskins that since everyone eats the apple peel, we don't view the apple peel and the flesh of the apple as a mixture at all, and the laws of Borer don't apply. It's Dover Echad, meaning again, we're still in the discussions about how do I define what's one thing versus two things, and when it's two things, how do I define if it's a mixture or not, to even know if it's a Borer situation. So he says, this isn't a Borer situation because it's mamish one thing. So you can remove the peel even with a peeler, which is considered Borer with a kli, and even not miyad, even well in advance of the meal, and that's like filtering water and wine, where the sediment is not viewed as a mixture, it's just part of the drink, even though you may not want to drink that part of the drink right now, so that's why you're filtering it out, but it's part of the drink, so it's davar echad, so it's not considered to be filtering. So the apple peel is part of the apple, so even though I may not be interested in eating the peel right now, but it's part of the apple, and therefore it's a davar echad. Shmir Shabbos also passes using a peeler on an apple is mutter, and he says any fruit or vegetable that the peel is edible, a pear, something like that. Rav Moshe in that tshuva to Rabbi Eider in Borer Osches disagrees, and he says peeling an apple is just like peeling any other fruit or vegetable from which you discard the peel, and it's only allowed immediately for the meal, and not with a kli. So Rav Moshe is a little more machmir on the apple. He does not view it as davar echad. It's not it's not like the sediment of the wine, and he thinks that you do have to follow all the Borer rules. What about removing skin from a chicken? So Rav Moshe in Osches over there, in that same tshuva, paskins that the skin of a chicken is considered part of the chicken. That is minechad. And the requirements of Borer therefore don't apply. On the other hand, the Aruch HaShabbos, Perikimel, Oskovav, writes that Rav Moshe's psak applies only in America, where everyone eats the skin with the chicken, and the skin and the chicken are considered a minechad. But in Eretz Yisrael, where a lot of people don't eat the skin is considered like a peel of the chicken, and you're only allowed to remove it right before the meal. I don't know if that's even Minag America. It depends on what kind of chicken you're eating. Sometimes people have to keep the skin on to keep the moisture in and to make it flavorful or whatever, and sometimes people have to take the skin off for health reasons or other reasons. Shmir Shabbos says that even Eretz Yisrael, the skin is considered Minachim, because most people do eat the chicken with the skin, and the rules of Borah don't apply. So again, that kind of thing, like the skin of a chicken, whether it's Minachim or not, is also going to be dependent on culture and society, whether it's Minachim.
The Nafkamin is just for Miyad and Klee, because
yeah,
you have the access for
it. Right, you have the access for it, but do you need to follow the Dinim of Borah? Yeah.
What if it's like eating that Svara that were Mechalic between different people, different areas? So what about like fruit peels for kids? Always want to do it. You feel like it's dangerous. Like,
but the child, they always want to do it. But
young kid.
Yeah, I don't know if that changes it. But most people would eat it. I think we would still consider it Menachem. Not Ramesh. Ramesh doesn't consider it Menachem anyway.
Going back to
the French one.
Yeah. So they just have the access for the chicken. The Bir Alafa, we're talking about a peel that, like, encases the entire fruit. So it's really hard to get to it unless you take off the peel.
Yeah, but you have a chicken thigh. How are you going to get to the chicken thigh without it? There's bone there.
So either way, you have the banana thing, the normal way of doing it.
Right. Also, right. There's always another way. That's why you have Rosh Hashanah Svara, that with the banana, there's also another way. Yeah.
According to the Egli Tal, does he not hold the peeler as muksa? It's like there's no purpose of it because you can't use the peeler on Shabbos.
So peeler is not muksa because it can be used for something, meaning is in a non-borrowed situation, you can use it. Right, the question is, what's a border situation, what's a non-border situation?
Mm-hmm.
Right, but if you hold that apples aren't border, so you can peel an apple with a peeler. Meaning if it's minecha, then you're allowed to peel it. Or a cucumber, let's say just quickly. Peels that are usually not eaten may only be done miyad and biyad. But if it's normally eaten, then even with a kli in advance of the meal is fine. So a cucumber is one of those debatable things. The Orchel Shabbos Paskins, most people don't eat the peel of a cucumber or a carrot, and therefore you have to follow all the dinim of Borer. Shmir Shabbos says, I don't know. I think people do eat the cucumber with the peel. People like it depends how much green they want, how much of a dark. They say that's where the healthy stuff is, right? Otherwise, the cucumber is all water, I think. So I think that's what they. In Yalkut Yosef, he quotes Rav Vadia that a peeler can always be used right before the meal, and he says that since the act of peeling is mutter before the meal, that's why a peeler is not considered a kli. For Breira, it's considered like a convenient knife, which, okay, that's a different discussion about the role of the peeler. Joshua, yes?
In terms of all this, like, people eat it or not, is that based on, like, your state, your city, the person?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really hard. It's really hard to know. It's really hard to know. Anyone see a good getter for that? Is it like, you know, in my neighborhood, we do only upscale, you know, like, I don't know. What?
Is that how we define it?
But is that, I mean, that's subjective borer is always the person, because I'm not interested in this right now, therefore it's my pseudos.
Same thing with this.
But over here is whether it's called min echad, b'chlal. Right? Would we say that's subjective also? I don't know if we say that would be subjective to the person. I did want to get to one more thing, one more practical example, even though it's late. Shmir Shabbos Paskins, that a sticker on the challah. In Israel, they have stickers on the challah, which is kind of gross. But if you think about it, we have stickers on our apples. So if you have a sticker on a challah or on a fruit, that's considered like a peel, because it's and you're only allowed to remove it close to the meal. And he says that it's best to remove it with some challah so that you don't rip the letters, and to only remove the sticker after amotzi so that your challah is going to be whole for Lecha Mishnah, which is pretty interesting. Meaning one might have thought, hey, you look at a sticker on the challah, you know, then I hear the svara that's not a mixture, the Aruch HaShulchan svara, the peel is not a mixture, it's just next to it, it's just there. But if you hold that being stuck onto something makes it a mixture, then you got to follow all the dinim of Borer. Aruch HaShabbos passing said a wrapper is not considered connected to the candy, and removing a wrapper in advance of the meal is mutter. If the wrapper is stuck to the candy, like you have a lot of times with lollipops and things like that, then it is a mixture and has the same halachic status as a sticker stuck on a challah, where only miyad biyad, you got to follow all of the rules. Which what we still didn't get to. And just one last thing. Shmir Shabbos Paskins that you're allowed to remove the seeds from inside a melon right before the meal, because the seeds prevent you from eating the melon, and they have the same status as a peel. But you got to follow the dinim of borer. Now, what I still want to get to is the mishnayos that talk about putting wine sediment in a filter and allowing the liquid to drip through, and then pouring water over that wine sediment and allowing the water to become flavored by the sediment, producing a wine-flavored drink. And that is very nogea for coffee drinkers, because that's pour-over coffee and French press coffee. Those are the major issue in both pour-over and French press is a borer issue, and we'll discuss that on, Sunday. So we'll start with that on Monday, and then we'll move on to the klalim of Ochel Mitoch Pesolus and Chulei.
Thank you.